Rotatoes, we are back again for another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I hope that you are doing very, very well. And for all of you asking, yes, I did have a wonderful birthday last week. If you have not seen already, I am and have been and will be, as of the time of recording this, releasing a brand new show called Oaths and Empires. I have been working on this for quite a while, and I'm so excited that it's finally going to be dropping into your feeds. This is a very different show tonally from Rotating Heroes, so I wouldn't go there expecting the same level of sort of japes and laughs. It is a Witcher-esque dark fantasy world, a completely homebrewed world that I have created, and it all takes place on the Isle of Vale. And I'm very excited to say that it is starring the two lead actors from Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Tom McKay and Luke Dale. And I genuinely think we have created such a special show over there. So if you want to check that out, then check out the link in the description below for my brand new show, Oaths and Empires. It would be absolutely incredible to have some of you folks over there. Without any further ado, let's go ahead and finish off this episode 6. Take it away, past me. This figure looks down at you. That same thing happens where your sort of field of vision seems to sort of warp slightly as the room suddenly goes dark. And this figure leans down and says,
You mentioned that you had a partner, someone who was no longer with you. Perhaps you could tell me about them. Show me. When did you first meet?
Is Tundra going to be able to fight this at all and try to show him something that's like fake?
100%. You can try and show whatever you want. You can paint whatever picture you like.
Okay. I'm trying to show, because I know I probably can't make it like fully a lie. I'm going to make it like a very pared down version of the truth, where it's like a version of the person and not the exact way that we met. I'm going to try to fight it.
Okay. As you're doing this, can you please make me a charisma saving throw as you try to paint an inaccurate picture?
Oh, no.
6.
That's bad.
Describe for me the scene that you wish to paint.
I'm trying to paint two people meeting at a coffee shop, basically, or whatever the equivalent is. And like bumping into each other in like a classic rom-com meet cute, which is like partially the truth. Two people kind of locking eyes and like realizing that they're going to be important to each other.
Yeah. So you see as the scene now shifts around you. In front of you, you see a roasting house, as I'm assuming we'd probably call it in Axis. And you suddenly realize that, like, you were trying to paint a picture very clearly of, like, broad daylight, of, like, birds singing, trees swaying, broad daylight. And you realize that this roasting house is, like, completely dark on the inside. There's no one in there. And you stood on the outside. You look down and feel yourself holding a sword. And I think your heart begins to sink as you realize this memory feels a lot truer than you intended.
Oh, no.
As someone comes flying out of the window of the coffee house at you and immediately starts engaging you in a fight. As you lock swords, I'm going to need you to go ahead and make me an attack roll.
12.
Well, you did a lot better than me. So I got a 4. This figure kind of lunges out of this glass window at you. Your swords kind of clinking off of each other. You lock in as you see this high elf with like golden reddish hair that sort of cascades like a flame down her back, and her golden armor seems to gleam in what little sort of low light there is from like crystalline lamps at the side of the street. And you see that the armor itself seems to have a sun etched in the center of the breastplate. And there is a moment as you lock eyes, you take the upper hand and you like force them back. This assailant kind of trips over and you land on top of them. And there's just a moment of the two of you kind of feeling slightly awkward. And you see that she now freezes. This assailant, this high elf freezes as the tall vampire leans down to you and goes,
"It's a shame. You shouldn't try to change your memories. They are such fragile things. To temper and change them is doing yourself and your partner a disservice."
Tundra, knowing that she can't fight this, and the more she tries to lie and make it worse, is probably not going to help her. So she just allows him to see the rest of the memory.
What unfolds from that point?
So Tundra, who has been sent to kill this person and knows that this person is trying to kill her as well, the way that she was described to her seemed incredibly intimidating and scary and like bad, but there's an immediate recognition of her humanity and how scared she looks. And so Tundra is like, for the first time, second guessing, just following out someone else's orders. And they fight for a while. But it's clear the longer they fight, the more it becomes like a game of chess.
The more you're pulling your punches. Yeah, yeah.
Between two people who are really good at chess and less like trying to cause harm.
So, this is your partner that the Turlets took from you.
She's kind of just staring down at her hands, feeling a little neck out, vulnerable.
Interesting. What would you do to see her again?
Tundra's still looking down at her hands. I never am going to see her again. It's impossible. I'm never going to see her again.
As the memory begins to fade away now, and you see as this gorgeous, kind of radiant high elf seems to sort of drift away like smoke on a breeze. Now this figure sort of seemingly behind you kind of leans down and says,
"In the Citadel, anything is possible."
The memory completely fades, and he sort of gestures for you to join Shadi on the other side of the room.
"Well, thank you for your time." And she sort of scuttles to the side.
You see that he kind of sits back down, slowly kind of turns his head.
Gotta puke.
and just makes eye contact with you.
This feels unironically above table, like I'm about to get a flu shot. Like, I'm so irrationally afraid of what's about to happen.
It felt like that. Yeah. No, that is a rational fear. It's sort of exactly how it felt.
Oh, cool, 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 cool. Great, cool. I walk forward, numb to the floor, robotically sit down in the chair. I'm immediately back getting, like, talked to by the warden. And I am in the stool like, "All right, man, let's do this." And as soon as that happens, like a little bit of bravado kicks in that is absolutely pure defense mechanism. And I just make eye contact with his ass, knowing that I am literally a radiant dragonborn. And he is about to take me to a world of pure darkness. Here we go.
The world slowly fades around you, Ollie, and something different. Well, I guess you don't actually know this would be different, but for us all, you see as he sort of turns away from you slightly, as in this place of pure darkness, Ollie, you are a source of brilliant light.
Whoa.
Intriguing.
And yeah, you look down and around at yourself, and you don't appear as flesh and bone, but as sort of almost like a collection of stars.
What?
I did not see this. No matter. Will you show me something that you hold dear? Something that you find happiness in?
Yeah, man, I'll show that to you on one condition.
Interesting. proceed.
You show me one first, and then I'll exchange. I hope you know that where I come from, where I've spent the last couple of years, you don't just trade something for nothing. Sellies trade stories all the time.
I have spent many, many moons trading stories, and I think it only fair that I show you something first.
You see, as the darkness seems to now ebb away, and you revert back to sort of flesh and bone, and you find yourself...
My confidence goes away immediately. Oh, felt really good as a collection of stars.
You find yourself staring at the back of a man, maybe just over 6 foot, nowhere near as imposing, fully put together. As he kind of stumbles to the mouth of this cave, you're kind of further into the cave, kind of looking out, and you can see moonlight now pouring in, kind of illuminating and silhouetting this figure. As this man, sort of long flowing hair, clearly in shape, and you have the ability to sort of move around this memory as freely as you wish to, and as you sort of go in front of this figure, you see now like kind of vaguely what looks like it could be the man that you now see. As someone kind of runs up behind him, like panting heavily, like.
We have done it, Salt Father. We have found their home. Here. Here we can kill them. You can have your revenge.
And you see that he kind of holds up a hand as rising from a kind of moonlit ocean, this giant serpentine leviathan with long fangs dripping with poison extends kind of out of the ocean, and you watch as he flicks a hand down and his feet suddenly become encased in water as he runs like in a dead sprint towards this leviathan-like creature walking on the surface of the ocean itself as the two of these creatures engage in an epic and bloody fight until eventually you see this leviathan kind of echo out a scream so loud that even through the memory itself it seems to hurt your ears. It falls into the ocean and you just see emerging, kind of pulling himself, absolutely kind of decimated by kind of injury and scars, missing an arm entirely. This man kind of pulls himself like across the sand, kind of sand and blood kind of filling his face as he kind of looks up, not at the figure that he was in the memory with, but looks up at you with a broad smile, a mouth filled with these glassy teeth. And he says,
"This is the day I was reborn. This is the day that I knew I would devour all that stand in my way. Does this satisfy you?"
I think Ollie just says, "Yikes."
You now watch as he stands up, strides forward, grabs the top of the head of the friend, the sort of ally that he was with.
No.
Exposes his neck.
Oh!
Like, chomps into his neck.
Oh, shit!
Rips out, like, a huge part of, like, viscera and vein and sinew. And you watch as this person, like, falls to the ground, blood pouring from his mouth. He kind of... as the body on the floor starts to twitch and come back to life. And he sort of looks down and says,
"We have much work to do, for my children are not yet avenged."
And he kind of walks back down that cave.
I tear out the viscera. Oh my god.
As you kind of follow him back down this void, he sort of turns around, no longer kind of dripping blood, and, you know, back in his sort of the form that you're more familiar with, he looks at you and goes,
"The viscera is the tastiest part, you see.
Ugh.
The second that they die, it starts to lose the flavor and taste."
Why do you want to know my happiest memory, man? This is crazy. What could possibly a guy like you have for to use that information in a good way? I'm just here to do a job, watch the crate. I wanted to make sure. I just.
You are to become one of my children, and I am incredibly loyal to my children, and all I wish for them is to be happy. If you share this memory with me, as all of my children have, each and every one of them, I will build a citadel where only your happiest memories will be built. Now, you can show me, or you can continue to resist.
All right, man. Fine. You want to see it? I don't think I'm going to be able to stop you, so we'll do it the easy way.
If you wish to fight me, you can.
I think I already know how that's going to go.
You just hear a voice in your head like,
"Hey, listen, man, I'm so on your side, okay? If you want to, whatever you need, I'm right here in your corner, okay? We got this. You're going to be okay. We're going to get you and your friends out of here. I promise. This guy is definitely strong, but he's not as much in your head as you think. You let him in your head, okay? Don't let him in your head."
Should I rush his ass? Should I bum rush him?
What, try to fight him? What the fuck is wrong with you? No, he'll kill you.
I thought that's what you were gassing me
up to
do.
Did you not see the fucking bit where he took on a Leviathan with his fucking bare hands?
I thought that's what you were telling me to do.
That is fucking crazy.
Oh, so we got this after he enters my mind and takes my happiest memories and uses them
against
me?
Your inflated sense of ego is going to get you killed. This is crazy. He literally killed the Leviathan with bare hands.
Why? That's why I was checking in. I was making sure before I launched at him.
And you're like, I should rush him? Jesus, I picked the wrong guy. Why did I'm joking. I'm sorry. I said that was a place of passion and I did not mean it, okay? I did not pick wrong guy. I picked the right guy.
He's about to enter my memory, so just let's just have my back, man.
But I'm just saying, I got your back, okay? If you want to just, like, you know, not give him the whole kit and caboodle, as you say.
No, you know what? I want him to see this.
You want him to see this?
Yeah, fuck it. I am past the precipice of madness, and I'm all the way onto the island. I've crawled to the shores of fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Let's give this guy everything I've got. I want him to see
No, this was like opposite of what I was trying to do.
Is Tundra still smiling, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am?
Uncontrollably.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure that Tundra's still smiling like a maniac in the corner while all of this is happening.
I feel like this had the opposite effect of what I wanted. I'm so sorry.
Here it is, oh slayer of Leviathans. Enjoy.
Oh, no.
What scene is painted before us?
He sees Ollie, Shaddy, and Tundra playing poker. And Ollie wins a massive hand. And he cheers around with everybody in the room. And he points at both of them as if to say, "Ha ha, I got all your money." And as they express their disappointment, he takes a beat and realizes this is the first time he's felt a part of something.
Dang, dude.
In the corner of the memory, this figure just goes,
"Yikes."
Yeah, man. All right.
So I'm going to ask you a question now, Ollie. Is this truly Ollie's happiest memory?
It is now my happiest memory. It wasn't my happiest memory. It my happiest memory got ruined by later facts, so it is no longer my happiest memory.
Sure. No longer your happiest memory. Sure.
So, sort of.
Do a charisma saving throw with advantage.
Okay.
To see if he kind of, like, senses the presence of, like, other things, you know, like deeper things.
With advantage?
With advantage, yeah.
That's a 27.
Woo! Yeah, he just goes,
"Yikes. Well, interesting. Perhaps I can phrase this then. What do you feel would give you purpose? I'm not asking you to show me, just merely tell me. I stand here in this dark void, and for the first time, I see a figure before me that I can barely look at. And yet, such a source of light claims to have such an empty soul. So what would give you purpose?
That's such a question for Ollie. I think he looks this guy in the eyes and says, I don't know. Which is the same thing he said to get to Rombi and answer truthfully, but he says it different now. And he follows up with, but I got a feeling it's coming soon. So I'm good to wait for a minute.
I have the same feeling. If it helps, there is much that you might learn by looking into your lineage. I have seen angels that burn less bright than you.
As the darkness fades, and he sort of points in the direction of your friends.
How much of that was in our heads and how much of that was out loud?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I guess I asked Tundra.
Yeah, yeah.
How much of that was in our heads and how much of that did you guys hear?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You've seen nothing of each other's visions, like, and nothing of your each other's kind of conversations, etc.
Nothing? All right, cool.
He kind of walks towards you, the three of you. You're in this corridor. He kind of clicks his fingers, and immediately there are like three or four kind of vampires kind of flanking either side of you. And he says,
I have made a small decision, which I hope that you will not be too offended by.
And he sort of now looks to the vampires and says,
take them to the cells.
Us?
We're not to lose any contact with this box.
That's fine. You can take the box with you.
We were thinking maybe like a waiting room or like a suite.
I'm afraid that will not be possible. Interesting.
Can Tundra try to charm him into like letting them be in a place that's maybe not like as locked up?
As you, in fact, I'll let you roll a persuasion check.
Thank you. And what if it was a natural 20?
Oh!
What then?
Gashi.
What would happen?
He leans down to you and says,
okay, you will be given free rein to wander these halls. But no, I was not locking you in a cage for our safety. I was locking you in a cage for yours.
Lead the way. We're ready. Take us wherever. We're good. Let's go. Come on, guys. Let's go.
I don't want to go back in a cell. Oh, my God.
No, it's fine. This is good. Like a parent trying to not freak out the kids.
Yeah. How did I fuck up this royally?
Oh, no. It's good. It's going to be so fun. They said there's going to be snacks in the cell. Let's go. Come on.
You didn't even let him finish the sentence. You just immediately clocked me. No. Okay, let's go.
She's sheepdogging her friends. Let's go, guys. It's going to be fun. Fun in there.
You're led through and you walk out of this door kind of into a kind of like almost like a wicker basket type thing. And as you step onto it, the three of you, the wicker basket kind of detaches from the wall and kind of just hangs in the air over a huge drop. And you see there are a number of these cages kind of next to you. One of the cages to your right has one of those extremely feral looking vampires in it, who kind of immediately throws themselves at the wall. And this figure, who you now know is referred to as the Salt Father, kind of walks to the entryway and sort of addresses you and says,
I do apologize. I suddenly got a whiff that you might have met one of our kin already. And if I can smell it, then they certainly can.
You look at the feral one who's just, like, losing its mind, like, smashing its head against this, like, wicker frame trying to get to you, and goes,
they do not take kindly to those who kill their own. So I wanted to be sure that you make it to enact our great plan. I will do whatever I can to make sure that you are as comfortable as possible. Is there anything I can get for you now?
no, this is great. Just somewhere far away from everyone who's not so happy with us. Oh, yeah? Uh-huh, okay, yep. Okay, good.
I'll get him removed. He clicks a finger and you see that cage suddenly drops, like, further than you can see.
As it falls, Shaddy just kind of calls after him, like, I'm sorry about what we did to your boy.
That should help, right? It helps when he says that.
Yeah. Does he forgive us?
The sound of distant screams become a distant memory.
Huh. It didn't great. Work. Weird.
I will take some time to think over what you've told me and to formulate a plan. But until then, please get some rest. For you are now part of a very grand plan. I appreciate you all coming here and being so open with me.
Shaddy looks up and, like, one question before you go. I'm
no,
not
Shaddy, no, don't,
I'm
don't
not super
do
familiar
this.
With like stuff.
Don't do this.
No, it's important. And he, like, Shaddy holds up his hand and is just like, oh, what was the, when we shook hands, like, it, what was that all about?
And he sort of see, looks confused for a second and goes, that was a blood pact.
Huh. And it, what's that, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it just should mean that should I deem any of your actions to go against our blood pact, and vice versa, I too would be influenced by you should I break the terms of our blood pact. Then I will temporarily gain control of your mortal body.
What were those terms again?
Yeah, can we just really quickly kind of get the exact, just like the exact parameters of the deal?
Can we get the legal wording of those terms?
Yeah, maybe right on paper.
That you would aid us building the Citadel, and once it is built, you and your friends would join us as one of my children.
Hmm. Great. And, look, and this is, you know, maybe we would get to this later. We'll have some time to chat later. But, like, in terms of, like, what exactly is the Citadel, just so that I can prepare to know how I can properly help you, is there anything that would be good for us to know that we could kind of, because we're going to, it seems like we're going to have a little bit of time to ourselves. We can maybe game plan ourselves, kind of come back, meeting of the minds later on with big ideas for everybody in the furthering of our blood pact.
I don't, of course. I understand exactly what's happened here. Yarnall did not give you the full details, just a snapshot, so to speak. I understand.
Hmm.
The plan here is to, for us to use this device to destabilize and short out the power aboard the Shadesmar, and we then will board the ship. Those who resist us will be killed, of course. Those who wish to join us will be free to do so. And we shall turn the Shadesmar into a floating citadel.
Right.
That we, our Glass Eater clan, can
sail the stars, take over planets, eat all the people on the planet.
I don't think we would feel the need to eat the entire planet, no. But only due to others, what has been done to us countless times. Do you think we choose to live in these wretched and squalid tunnels? No. We have been forced to because those people above ground do not accept us for who we are, would kill us before having a conversation with us.
You also don't seem to ask people if they'd like to become a vampire, or if they'd like to be killed on a boat or an airship.
Have you seen me kill anyone?
What's that for?
Yeah, it seems like a technicality.
Yeah.
Have you seen me not, in fact, engage with in polite and reasonable conversation?
Yeah, it feels like a technicality. We've only known you for like 5-6 hours. You know, it's like.
And what you just described, killing anyone who resists, isn't exactly the strongest argument for I'm in the right based on this point that I'm making.
If you are at war and someone shoots at you, what would you do in response?
shoot back, I suppose.
Thank you.
It's probably what we would do, but there are other options. You know, my dad always used to say you can get more done with a paycheck than a gun, or with a checkbook than a gun.
That is what your father thinks. Well, we shall see what happens in a week's time when his checkbook meets a gun, shall we?
Oh, shit. Oh,
okay.
That's a good line.
If that is all.
Yep, thank you.
Yep, we'll go to bed in this swinging cage.
We're so tired. Yeah, we're all tuckered out. Long day for us, I think. So thank you for your hospitality, of course.
And good night,
love this.
I guess.
Mama, love this vibe. Good night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Not sure what time it is.
He fully left like 20 seconds ago.
Oh, my God. I am on the precipice. Oh, God. Is everyone okay?
My hand still hurts from earlier, but yeah, I'm all right.
I can't believe we're about to hang over a precipice for sleeping, but...
I will show you my notes, George. All of these precipices were involved when I planned this adventure.
Guys, if I could just grab us really quick, let's huddle. As we all climb into this cage, yes, and close the door and lock it real good.
I made a gigantic mistake in suggesting this.
Okay, well.
I think we need to get out of here. Now.
How? I guess is sort of my big question.
Shadi made that blood pact. If I rest a little bit, so we have to sleep here. I don't know. I think we have. I have to take a minute, or an 8 hour specifically. I can stop him from being possessed for 10 minutes. So if we make our move, Shadi, I'm sorry. If we just, as long as we know when this is happening, we have a 10-minute window that I can re-up on if we're getting a little nervous about it.
Okay.
Hold on a fucking second, all right?
This guy's got it. We got to kill this guy, Shadi. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, hang on a second. We're going to kill this guy?
He's the other end of your blood pact. If he's alive, he can control you whenever he wants.
Yeah, but, like, what if this, like, plan is set in motion and it's bigger than just the Salt Father? You know what I mean? What if they already got plans and they're gonna we kill the Salt Father and then those 10 million other little vampires find their way onto little ships and they get up there and they get on the my parents' ship and they blow it up and then they take it over and then they take over the universe. We're just gonna we're gonna try to kill this guy and then get out of here?
Yeah, but maybe they have a blood pact with him and when he dies, it's like cutting off the head of a snake.
Could be. Yeah, that could be something. I don't know how vampires work really in that way.
The other option is, Shadi, we kind of just, like, leave you behind, and we go.
Tundra, we're not going to do that.
We'll come back later.
We're not leaving anybody behind. We're not leaving Shadi.
So our plan is to kill this guy and then see what happens?
I think if we try to kill this guy, he'll kill us very quickly. I think we need to find some way to get you separated from this curse. Or maybe we do it legal style, and we trick him into somehow reneging on the deal, and then we control him. Or you control him, Shadi. I don't know how we would do that. Maybe ignore that.
No, but like, is there anything we can offer him? Or is there any way we can blackmail him? You're a Turlet. You know how to blackmail people.
I mean, I don't know. I could see if I could get him like another ship. A different ship that they could just like have. Maybe like an old model. I can like hit up like the guys at the distribution center and see if there's like just like a decommissioned ship. We can just give them a ship and be like, look, you don't have to go and blow this other one up. You can have this other ship and just go and do your thing. You know what I mean? Look, I don't know.
All right, you know what? Let's rest.
Yeah, I think we should maybe sleep.
Yeah. Let's sleep on it. Here's what I think. I think they're really into freedom, which at first sounds great, right? Except that they're talking about going to different places and killing everyone and drinking from the throat of freedom, which doesn't feel like a super great version of it to me. Now, on the other hand, they've also had some people keeping them down, and I empathize with that. So, in conclusion, good night.
And then Ollie turns over and resolves to sleep on it, I think.
Great. Can you go ahead and give me a constitution saving throw, Ollie? Because you are still under the effects of insomnia. So we need to see
this
how well...
This sucks if I don't make this save. This sucks. Here we go.
Fuck!
No!
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 Nine.
No, that was our only plan.
Ollie, much like my existence for the last year and a half, where my son has stopped me from getting a solid 8 hours sleep, you find yourself waking up every hour or so.
Yeah, I'm trying to sleep in a swinging birdcage.
As the two in the cage next to you sleep and snore like peaceful babies. However, Ollie, as you're asleep, you notice that vampires kind of scuttle down the walls at various points and sort of check on the cages, check on the sort of ropes and everything that hold them. And occasionally you'll see them place a kind of spike into the wall. And on the end of the spike, there are various like items, maybe a glow globe, etc. One spike comes down into the wall. And on the end of the spike, from the end of the spike, sorry, you just hear, whoa, okay. Well, this has been a really fun adventure. As you see the severed head of Lucien Morrow on the end of a spike, but still talking to you, looks at you, Ollie, as the others are asleep. So how's it going with you? I tried to escape. And, well, you can see how this is going.
Wake up, Ollie.
He just, like, spits in your face, like,
oh!
You're awake.
God. How are you still alive? What are you talking from?
I don't know. I guess my throat's still intact, vaguely. They sort of must have cut down low at the stump, you know?
Sorry, I'm good.
I guess what they've done is kept my sort of heart intact, and I've not been sort of killed in any traditional means, and they've found a way of leaving
so
my...
Your heart's separate from your body right now?
I believe so, and for some reason that's still okay, apparently. I didn't know the rules on that, you see.
This flies in the face of literally everything I learned in medical school.
Yes, yes, it's pretty bad even by vampire standards, I'll be honest. this is pretty rough.
Well, here, mate, maybe I can help you out here. Can I reach you?
You sort of try, you'd have to like get a bit of momentum. You'd have to sort of swing the cage a little in order to get there.
I go to do that and then realize, oh wait, I'm tapped. I have literally nothing left for you. I'm sorry.
I wasn't expecting.
Unless you want me to put you out of your misery.
How would you do that? I've already sustained pretty grievous wounds. I'm a head on a stick.
There's
a spear through my frontal lobe as we speak.
I got like one more blast of radiant, I think.
Radiant would not be good for me. I'm a vampire, an undead being. Please don't.
Okay, hey, no worries, man. Sorry I got you into this.
So, no, listen.
I feel responsible.
I feel sort of an odd sense of peace now that my existence is and will forever be pain. I'm just sort of, I found a new normal, and I'm just going to sort of ride this out for a couple of millennia, I guess.
Okay, good night.
I was wondering how your plan is going.
Are we still talking?
Well, yes, you might be interested to know that I maybe found out some information that might help you, but that's fine. You can just do whatever you want to do, and I guess you could just leave me here. That's not a problem.
Okay, good night, Lucien.
Good night. Yep, good night. Yep, no worries.
Perfect.
Yep, that's right. I'm gonna also go to sleep. Are you asleep?
Just tell me your thing.
Did you get to sleep?
No, tell me your thing. I can't sleep. My back hurts. Tell me your thing.
Dude, do you want me to... This guy needs a pillow. Can someone... Or a sort of neck brace, or his back's hurting.
Thanks for trying. Tell me your piece of information, Lucien.
I don't appreciate this tone. I think you should apologize.
Please tell me your piece of information. I'm sorry I haven't slept. I'm really tired.
I'm sorry that you haven't slept. That's rubbish. That's not good at all.
I am begging you to tell me.
Okay. So, when they were tearing my flesh apart, they were telling me that you all are essential part of the plan now. The plan's changed and they want you to be an essential part of the plan. There was some talk of another turlet involved in this. And I thought they were obviously talking about Shaddy, but then they were talking about how smart this guy is and how he's like a super brain. And I was like, that can't be that Shaddy. I don't not mean to offend, but also I don't really care at this point.
He's asleep. He's you can't hear any of this.
Yeah, exactly. You can't hurt my fingernails right now because I don't have any anymore. So another turlet involved, which seems, you know,
that's interesting.
The other vibe that I got is that a little different to the Crimson Strand. We're all kind of we get connected up in a way, but it's not sort of like a. It's different here, right? It's a little hive-y, if you get my drift here. It's sort of got a good side and sort of good news, bad news situation. Bad news is, if one of them can see you, the Saltfather can see you.
Yeah, that's not great. Thank you. That's good to know.
But here's the upside here. If something happened to the Saltfather, I think this place would be pandemonium and chaos. So...
interesting, Lucien. That's interesting.
You know.
How many days do we have before this plant kicks off, Lucien? Did they say a timeline?
I think it's like 6 days or so, but I don't know. I can't tell honestly how long has passed, but I think it was six. It's about 6 days now after this rest. I mean, listen, if you're an essential part of this cog, here's the thing that I don't know. This ship takes off from Vegaside, right? The place of perpetual sun. The reason why I think that you are now seen as indispensable is probably because you can guard in sunlight. Like, how are they going to get this device on board to lower its defenses and attack it if none of them can take this thing on? Literally none of them could carry this thing on board even if they wanted to. They'd have to walk out into broad daylight, and let me tell you, that's not fun for us.
All right, Lucien, this has been... good. Thanks for doing some thinking about this. And do you want me to try to get you off of that wall? Or...
oh, I mean, if you want to take me with you, yeah, that would be awesome. I'd rather sort of rot on your side than rot here on a stick.
And I'm going to try to put a little more weight. Yeah. And I'm going to try to swing the cage to where I can grab him.
Go ahead and make me an athletics roll.
It's not good.
Or acrobatics, actually. I can.
It's worse. Nine, the magic number of the day for me. A nine.
You manage to swing this cage. You get there.
Ah!
You grab hold of his hair. It's like drenched in blood as you kind of pull it off of this spike.
Oh, gross.
As the cage continues to swing, Herber, it is at this point that a completely, seemingly incapacitated Shaddy just rolls on top of you. In his sleep, just fully snoring.
Yippee on you.
And you're just kind of stuck there for a little bit until he moves.
I'll try again in the morning, Lucien.
Yes, I understand. This is pretty bad for you.
Good night, Lucien.
Good night. Ollie, go ahead and roll me one more constitution saving throw, please.
Please go to sleep. Please go to sleep. 22?
Ollie, your eyes begin to drift shut. And you find maybe your second happiest memory as you just have the sweet relief of sleep and a long rest.
Wow.
Oh, unbelievable. Thanks, Lucy. And I just needed a conversation at midnight.
Phew.
Thank God.
Lucian's just there telling you a bedtime story.
I owe everything to Lucien now. I have to save Lucien.
And you just hear as you drift off, hey, you already have, like, head in your head rent-free. I don't think there is space for another head.
Rambi.
Yes. What do you need? What?
Bedtime.
What? Need to
go
sleep?
Talk in the morning.
Oh, okay. Sure.
That's going to have to be an essential part of the agreement.
I have very good songs, if you would like me to sing for you.
I'm open to it. Give it a shot.
Sure. Okay, let me... it sounds extremely average. It's sort of like a slightly tone deaf dad singing a lullaby. But it's got heart behind it. But it's also
if it's got heart behind it, I sleep like a baby.
Yeah. You wake up to the sound of. As your eyes begin to drift open and Lucien goes, what have you been doing? I've been doing that for the last 4 days.
Why have you not woken up?
Oh, shit.
For goodness sake.
What? We slept for 4 days.
What?
And all of you, how tired were you?
You're kidding.
How tired were you? Seriously.
What?
You've been asleep for 4 days. You've been asleep for 4 days.
Tundra's hair is like matted and her eyes are like, oh, huh?
You, whatever position you were in, like those muscles extremely sore. You were like twisted up like a pretzel.
What the heck?
You have been asleep for 4 days.
Why didn't you wake us up?
I've been trying. I've practically lost my voice, trying to make as much sound as possible, and you just wouldn't wake up. I even bit his shoulder, and you, Ollie, you look, your shoulder is just sort of so damp and really, like, sore, like, bruised, and with, like, teeth marks all in it.
Ow!
That was all I had. It was all I had, and I was trying to wake you up, and you just wouldn't wake up. And I also don't want to concern anyone, but there is someone who has been watching you for the last 2 days, and it's a little freaky. Bless you.
Thank you.
And you sort of see his eyes kind of drift as he sort of points with his eyes to the other side. And you now notice there is a cage that's been lowered down next to you. And there is someone sat cross-legged with a sort of 1,000-yard stare, but no, unmistakably looking at you as a group. Maybe not at you all specifically, but at one of you. As you see a high elf.
No. No, no.
Reddish hair.
You're joking.
That cascades. Maybe like a slightly duller flame now down her back.
Okay.
Cross-legged, staring out.
Tundra's immediately going to be suspicious because she saw her die. So can I check to see if this is like a vampire version of her or like they are projecting a version of her?
Roll me an insight check.
No, you're kidding. You're joking. 18.
Tundra, it takes a lot for you to feel a shiver down your spine. You are very used to the cold, but yet an unmistakable cold shoots down your spine, setting every hair on end as you see this person before you. And as they look at you and sort of shift their attention, you can see this person who was a literal kind of ray of sun in your life, duller and less filled with less of that vibrancy. This is absolutely, and you've never been more certain of anything, this is Ember.
What?
But
what?
She is absolutely dead.
Wait, what do you mean though?
She is dead.
She's a vampire.
She doesn't appear to be a vampire. She just appears to be dead.
But she's looking at me?
But moving. Looking at you.
What the fuck?
What does that mean?
Behind her eyes, there is that glint is still there somewhere.
No.
In there.
Oh, this is awful.
That recognizable...
No.
The way her eyes would soften when she looks at you. It happens just so slightly and so subtly that only you would pick up on it.
This is horrible. Okay. Can Tundra, because she's assuming that this is to sort of like whip up a reaction from her, is she able to stay as calm as and like unbothered as possible?
Yeah.
Even just presentationally.
100%. You can roll me. I'll let this be a... I'll let you pick wisdom or charisma. Like however you feel like Tundra would center herself, right? Whether it's that she's just fully suppressing the feeling... And she's just kind of pushing that down and putting on a brake, just masking it completely, like using charisma, or whether she's trying to like use logic and be like, this isn't her, etc., and kind of like using wisdom, sort of however you think Tundra would kind of react in this moment. And you can make either a wisdom saving throw or a charisma saving throw.
I did wisdom and I got a 15.
For Tundra, there is a feeling of trying to logic out like what's going on right now and trying to sort of keep level-headed in this moment. And you do manage to. You sort of, I think, almost mirroring Ember, there is a sort of steely kind of glassiness that falls over Tundra's eyes as you kind of stare back at her, trying not to elicit any emotion.
It's like her old sword that I have on me reacting in any specific way to seeing her?
Absolutely. Whatever was happening earlier, it's like happening a million times over.
Okay. Did her and I have any sort of like safe word, code word for each other?
Yeah, you tell me what it is.
Or like a, maybe even like a hand
like
signal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a gesture.
I think that would absolutely make sense for two people who professionally killed other people.
All right, I'm going to do that gesture. I'm freaked out, guys. It's crazy. So scary.
Zombie.
What kind of hand gesture do you think it is? Is it sort of simple? Is it complex? Is it, you know?
I think it's simple. It's like a thumbs up.
So secret. It's just at like a slight angle. There's like a very specific like degree angle to which you hold the thumbs up. I think there's a moment you see as she clocks what you do. She looks down at her own hand and then her head kind of snaps up for a second. And in the moment where her head snaps up, you see like unmistakably like Ember looking back at you. And then it kind of fades away again. It's almost like she remembered and kind of broke through for a second, but then it like she kind of lost it. It like has slipped away.
Good. This is so scary. Perfect.
Go to her.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the edge of the cage.
Yeah, you're like essentially like two hanging like wicker cages, which are probably like 10 feet away from each other.
I would like to maybe see if her teeth are made of glass. Or like what? I want to get a closer look at her and maybe encourage her to speak.
I'd say with sort of for free, I'll say that nothing about her appearance seems to be like
off.
Visibly off. Dull is the word. It's just like she just seems duller. Like she's, you know, the, like that kind of same spark is not quite there. But you did see it break through for a second. But otherwise, visibly, she doesn't sort of seem any different.
This sounds crazy, but my instinct is to like knock her out or fight her. I don't trust this, and I feel like that's what she would want me to do. But if I'm seeing that glimmer of her, what do I do?
Well, I mean, what are the other guys doing, right? You're in this cage, and you're kind of seeing this.
Hey, I'm Ollie. This is Shaddy, and this is Tundra.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like standing there with like a like sort of neighborly hello, kind of like three finger, kind of like, what's up?
Just holding up a peace sign. Yeah.
That's so funny. A little awkward. And she, as gently as possible, just grabs both their arms and goes, I know her, but it's not her. And then she grabs Shadi's arm really hard and goes, your family killed her.
Wait, that's for real?
What?
That's for real. She's not alive, but it looks just like her.
Who in my family? Who?
Your dad ordered it.
I almost asked, what did she do to deserve it?
Wow.
No, I feel bad. That's like family programming.
Lucien's head on the floor that neither of you have also clocked is just like, wow, wow.
No, I'm sorry, it's like family programming.
You need to take a good look at yourself.
Well, I know, I'm
crazy.
Trying, okay?
She didn't deserve it at all. It's okay, it's fine.
I didn't mean to say that.
It's okay. Can I talk to Ember?
You can, yeah.
Are you dead?
You see that she opens her mouth and sort of a little bit of noise kind of crackles at the back of the throat, as almost as though she's trying to sort of like refine her voice, but it kind of unmistakably like, even just from the tiniest little sounds, like it sounds like her. And in the moment that you ask this question, this question of, are you dead? The cage that she's in suddenly falls away.
No.
Fuck you. What do you mean it falls away? Can I do something? Can I like throw a rope down or like a anchor or hook or something? Do I have something on my person that could stop it?
Yeah, you can try. Go for it.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Well, will a 19 do it?
As you throw this hook out, it catches onto the top of the wicker cage, and you feel your arm is like suddenly pulled like violently through the hole. It feels like your shoulder immediately dislocates as you take 4 points of damage.
Ow. Can she yell, grab me to the guys?
Oh, yeah. I grab.
Yeah.
Again, not my strongest ability, but I do my best. I got a 14 strength.
The two of you make me athletics checks as you try and grab hold.
25 for me.
Wow!
Let's go, Shadi.
13, so I don't fuck it up.
Lucian's there with the end of the rope in his mouth, just like, ah, I'm healthy.
Plus one.
Plus one, minus one.
Oh, fuck.
He's ahead. Like, what's he gonna do? Can't anchor himself?
He's anchored by the spike.
You left the spike in his head? Fuck.
Yeah, so he's against the thing. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you took the spike. That's fucking hilarious.
No, that's how I gotta carry him around.
I'll say that with a 25, Ollie kind of goes to help, and Shelly just immediately places a hand and kind of just anchors the group. As you can feel the weight of this cage, the cage has fallen sort of quite far. It's like, you know, quite far below you, but you do have it. Like, you're currently bearing the weight of it. What would you like to do?
Pull, right? Let's all hoist back up.
Okay, let's do a group athletics check here.
I got +7 on athletics.
Damn.
24.
I only rolled a 10 on this one.
A 10 for me as well.
Two fails and one success. But you do manage to start pulling. I think, what's Tundra's emotional state as you're sort of trying to like heave this cage back up towards you?
All the coolness that she had before has turned into like adrenaline panic.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she knows that they're doing this like certainly to mess with her, and they probably reanimated Ember to try to control her, she's still like, her animal brain can't let go of her for a second time.
As Tundra's animal brain is refusing to let go and desperately trying to pull this cage back up to you, I think that the cage begins to get closer, and you can see Ember now like hanging on to the kind of outside of this cage, like she's kind of braced herself and clearly able to sort of move and think. And it does seem like she is sort of somewhat coming back to herself. As walking kind of vertical to the wall, you now see the Salt Father descending down, looks at all of you and says,
like I said, so much is possible at the Citadel. Aid us, and all of this will be yours.
As he takes the scythe and he cuts the rope, and the cage begins to plummet, and that's where we're going to end this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast.
In motherfucker.
I've been actually meaning to talk to you, Jasper.
You bastard.
I actually would love a minute with you if you're looking for some feedback.
We're going to kill this guy. Jasper, we're going to kill this guy so hard. I know he's already dead.
Lucky you on another continent.
I'm going to radiant breath his face off of his skeleton. He's dead.
You're sick.
He's dead.
Has anyone ever told you that? You're sick.
You're so fucked up, dude. He's dead.
I'll admit that.
Yeah, I hope.
That's been mean before as a GM. I've been pretty mean. I will.
Oh, man. We're going to dissolve the Salt Father in a big bucket of water, my dude. He's fucking dead.
It's only because I trust you and I respect you as players that I'm this mean
well,
to you.
Well, hey,
so it's a nice God. Thing.
I'll just say this. The Salt Father's going to turn into the fresh water little boy.
Yeah, get him, John. Yeah.
You
get him, John.
Got him.
That's all I'm going to say.
Got him. The pond son.
I feel genuinely rattled by that. That was upsetting.
Well, I guess we'll go and sort of figure all of that out in the Arc Bug. Maybe have a group therapy session.
Jeez.
To unpick that knot.
I think I'm busy that day.
Yeah. Sorry, I won't be able to attend.
I won't be able to show up.
Crazy.
Well, if you can't show up, then it's all the more important that you tell people where everyone can find you on the internet. Aaron Keefe, if you can, tell us where people can find you.
You can find me at Jasper's house.
Strangling him.
Sort of, with my eyes narrowed. Yeah, well, I don't even know. You can listen to Hey Riddle Riddle if you want, anywhere you find podcasts. John, George, go ahead. I'm rattled.
You can find me in the other side of Jasper's house executing a pincer formation.
Nice. Good.
Also coming for Jasper. And also at DMGeorge_Primavera. Check out Hero Club and the Reslayer's Take for narrative D&D content edited to sound like an audiobook, though it was played around the table live. and check out Total Party Skill, where we, my friends Gabe and Dylan and I, talk about all things D&D, homebrew stuff for you. Lots of cool stuff happening with Total Party Skill, so go check that out if you need a little D&D podcast that's not narrative-based.
Hell yeah.
And you can find me in Jasper's kitchen, because I broke in already.
Yep.
I'm eating all his snacks.
See, we're working as a team.
Yes. I've got cookies here, actually. I've got some pretty nice fresh cookies here.
And they are gone. They're gone now.
Absolutely. What took you so long, COVID?
But you can find me at It's John Mackey on the internet. You can also listen to my podcast, The Brett DeMott Show. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also join us on Patreon. And then you can get Big Grande's improv podcasts over at biggrandewebsite.com. We also have, I keep forgetting to mention this. We did like we had a recorded live improv show that we did at the Elysian Theater.
Hell yeah.
You can get it at thirdbest.com. It's a buddy of ours started a website where he's sort of doing comedy specials.
And stuff. Cool.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Very cool. Very cool, very awesome. Well, I have been your extremely kindly and nice GM. if you want to see more of me being really nice, check out Thresher, where everyone absolutely is fine at the end of that two-shot, and nothing bad happens at the bottom of the ocean.
Jasper's getting a taste for blood, so to speak.
Over on Critical Role. And you can check out my other show, Three Black Halflings. We've got a Kickstarter coming up for our first ever source book, which is called City of the Black Rose, which is a horror gothic noir setting, and it slaps, and it's really awesome, and it's compatible with all RPGs. You can pick whichever one you like and is your favorite, and you can open the book, and it will tell you how to run it in all the different RPG systems. So it's really awesome. And being made by my friends over at Roll and Play Press. Find me at JW_Cartwright. That's about it from me. Thank you so much. Like I said, I'm going to go have a group therapy session over at the Ark Bark and get over the trauma of this episode, in which I summarily wrecked my party and maybe their trust forever, but we'll see.
Was the party bumping, Jasper?
Yippee-i-o.
Yippee-i-o.
It was yippee-i-o.
I knew it.
It was coming.
I was about to ask how I end these, but we all know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
dogs out. Rough.